All right, you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Tonight we will be in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we will be looking at the last few verses here in 1 Timothy. Here we see a book that was written by Paul to Timothy. It was written roughly around AD 64, and it was just shortly after Paul was released from prison that he went ahead and wrote this epistle, this letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy is known as one of the pastoral epistles, as Timothy was there a pastor, and he was probably a pastor there in Ephesus, as we see in the first chapter of 1 Timothy, as we see that Paul left him there in Ephesus over a church there. And so here we see Paul writing a letter to Timothy, just encouraging him, telling him just how to run a church as he is a young pastor, a young man right there, how to conduct himself in the church, how he should conduct himself. And Paul just gives Timothy a couple commands here. And we will pick up here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 12. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Tonight I've just simply entitled my message, "An Example of the Believers." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just do thank you tonight for this evening. I do thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to just open up your word and just share what you've written here. I pray that you would work in each and every single one of our hearts here tonight. Would you just challenge us and give us something that we can all just apply practically to our lives this week, and that we can walk away with here tonight. I pray that you'll just give me the words to say, which you guide my mouth. In your name I pray. Amen. So here we see that every man of God must conduct himself in a way that pleases the Lord. So we're going to see, I believe, the six commands here that Paul gives to Timothy. The first command here that Paul gives to Timothy is to be an example. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Timothy was a young person here. He had a lot to learn. Here Paul is just commanding him not to let others despise him. Despise here has an idea of like scorning. And Paul is telling Timothy not to let others make him think that he cannot be used of the Lord. And here, in this passage, we see Paul telling Timothy not to let others despise him in just his youth. And I know many of us here this evening wouldn't probably put ourselves in the same category as Timothy, whether as a preacher or as a youthful man. But in the same way, we're not to let others despise us. We have to realize what our identity in Christ is. When we realize what our identity is in Christ, we can move much further and farther for the Lord. We see that throughout the Bible that we have Christ's power and authority in Ephesians 1. We see that we are holy, blameless, and beyond reproach in Colossians 1. We see that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places in Ephesians 2. In Colossians 2, we see that we have been made complete. In 2 Corinthians 5, we see that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We also see that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We see that God's grace is greater than our sin. We see that we are no longer under condemnation in Romans 8. We see that we have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 4, we see that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We also see throughout the Bible that victory is secured. And I could keep going on for a good while, just describing our identity in Christ and all that Christ has done for us and given us. And here Paul is telling Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Don't let other people's opinions of you limit you in what you can do for the Lord. Each and every single one of us here have potential. And Satan knows that we have much potential because we have Christ's power. And when we realize our identity in Christ, then we can move forward for the Lord and see Christ use us like never before. So here we see that he was supposed to not let any man despise a youth, but be an example of the believer. So we see that he's supposed to be an example in quite a few different ways. For the first way here, we see that he's supposed to be an example in word. In word, that is what you say in your talk, in your conversations to each other. Timothy was supposed to be an example in everything that he said. His words would either be a good influence or a bad influence, especially with the position that Timothy had there as a young pastor there. He had to be careful with what he said. He had to make sure that his words were edifying, true, generous, helpful, and encouraging. I have a couple passages here that we can turn to that just what the Bible says and how our speech should be. So if I could have a couple volunteers turn to a couple passages, go ahead, raise your hand, and I'll tell you a passage that you can turn to. All right, Zachary, go ahead, turn to James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Someone else? Mr. Heisey, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Two more. Mr. Gambino, Ephesians 4, 29. And last one, Billy. Go ahead, turn to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. So we see here that we are supposed to be an example in word, in what we say. So go ahead, Zach, if you have James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 there, go ahead and read it out loud for us. All right, so right there in that verse, what do we learn about our speech and how our speech should be? Go ahead, someone, just speak out. I see a lot of you just mouthing or whispering. Speak up.
It should be slow.
Slow to what?
Slow to speak.
Slow to wrath. What else?
Be a listener.
Be a listener. All right, so here we see that we are to be slow to speak, slow to wrath. We are to listen, be swift to hear. All right, Colossians 4, verse 6.
Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.
All right, so there in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, how should our speech be?
Salty.
Salty. Okay, what is the idea of salt? Whenever you're cooking, a lot of you ladies might know this, or guys, when you're eating food and the food maybe doesn't taste as great, you add some salt. What does the salt do to the food? It enhances the flavor, right? It brings it out. It makes it better. Does it make a big difference? Yes, it makes a huge difference. So our speech should be, like Mr. Heidi said, it should be salty. It should be always with grace. We should know how to answer every man. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. All right, so there in that verse, how should our speech be?
It should edify others.
It should edify others. It shouldn't be tearing down. It should be lifting others up to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And finally, Proverbs 15, 1. Billy. That's all right. All right, so there in Proverbs 15:1, what do we see about speech? What do we learn about our speech? What does it do? How should we use it? What does it say? What does a soft answer do? I'm making it simple here for you guys.
It turns away wrath.
It turns away wrath, okay? And what does the opposite do? What's the opposite? Grievous words, right? What does it do? Does it turn away wrath? No, it does the opposite. It stirs up the anger. So here, Paul is telling Timothy to be an example in word, and the words that he uses around. He's supposed to be an example to his church there, not only to his church, but to other fellow believers, to everyone. Why is it just because he's a pastor and that's the way he's supposed to be? No, this is for all believers. This is the Bible. This is for each and every single one of us, not just Timothy. So we're supposed to be an example of the believers in word. Not only are we supposed to be an example of believers in word, but we're also supposed to be an example of the believers in conversation. Conversation, you may think, has the same idea as words. You know, conversation, I have a conversation with someone else. But this conversation has more the idea of how you act, your lifestyle, how you carry yourself about. And Paul here wanted Timothy to be an example in how he conducted himself. So how do you conduct yourselves? How do you go about your day in your lifestyle? Is it one that honors and glorifies God? Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be, that's the same word there, conversation, lifestyle, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So there Paul's telling the Philippians that how their conversation should be, that they should be standing fast in one spirit, striving together, being with one another for the faith of the gospel. So how's your lifestyle? Real easy application is what friends do you choose to hang around with? What music do you listen to? What clothes do you choose? How is your lifestyle? Is it one that is similar to the world, or is it that of a Christian? Not only was Timothy to be an example of the believers in conversation, but also an example of the believers in charity. We see here that he was supposed to be an example in love. And we see in 1 Corinthians 13, the whole entire chapter there of love. Matthew 5, 43 and 44 says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So rather than hating our enemies and loving our neighbors, Christ says we are to love our enemies. Do good to them. So how do we treat those that we struggle to get along with? Maybe it's a coworker that just gets on our nerves, or maybe it's a family member or someone else that you struggle to get along with. How do you respond to them? Do you respond to them in charity? Are you an example to other believers? Are you an example of the believers in charity? Not only is he supposed to be an example of believers in charity, but also in spirit. Paul wanted Timothy to be an example in the spirit. He wanted him to have a spiritual talk and conversation. He wanted him to have a true zeal for the honor of God. Having just that desire to see the gospel and God's truth spread throughout the world. How about you? Do you have that zeal of the Spirit, of the spiritual things, to be in God's Word, talking with others about spiritual things, sharing with others, perhaps handing out tracts, sharing the gospel with others? Not only is he to be an example of the believers in spirit, but also in faith. Paul wanted Timothy there to be an example to the others of faith. Paul wanted Timothy to show that whenever he even went through hard times, through difficult times, that he was still faithful to God. He was still faithful in his cause as a minister. Even through the hardest times, he was to be an example in faith. Real quickly and easily, how are we when we go through hard times? Are we one that stays strong in the faith? Are we an example that others can look to? That, you know, this person, even though they go through many hard times, they're still true to God and they have that strong faith in him. They continue moving forward for him. Can that be said of you here tonight? Not only is he to be an example in the faith, but here we also see, finally, that he is supposed to be an example in purity. He commanded here for him to be pure, both in his mind, body, and actions. Earlier in the chapter, in verse 2, we see, in the next chapter, chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity." So you're supposed to treat others with purity. He wanted Timothy to be pure. In the day and age that Timothy lived there, even with the other religions that worshipped many bad things there that were unpure. Paul wanted Timothy to remain pure through everything. And we ourselves are also to remain pure and to be an example in purity. So here we see that the first command was to be an example of the believers. The command to be an example. Secondly, we see here in verse 13 that the second command was to study. So verse 13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." So here, first of all, he was supposed to be reading. He was supposed to be reading the Word of God. Of course, back in that day, Timothy had just the Old Testament there with him. And Paul wanted him to be to give undivided attention to reading, to be in God's Word, to be reading it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So not only was Timothy supposed to be reading God's word, but he was also supposed to do it in exhortation. He is supposed to encourage others, lift others up around him, to keep pressing forward for Christ. In the same way, we are to encourage one another to move forward for Christ. and finally in doctrine. So he was supposed to be reading, encouraging others, and then doctrine here has the idea of teaching. Matthew 28:20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So here Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to be in God's word. I want you to be encouraging others. I want you to be teaching others God's word, what you have learned. And this isn't just for Timothy. This is for us as well. We are supposed to be reading God's word, doing our devotions, meditating upon it. We're to be encouraging others. Not only that, we're supposed to be teaching others as well. You'd be like, well, you know, I'm not a teacher. I don't have any teacher position. I'm not a preacher or anything like that. But you know, each and every single one of us can have an impact on someone else, whether it's just through an encouraging word or we can teach others, the younger people, something in God's word. In Matthew 28:20 is a command to everyone that we are supposed to teach everyone. And the context there has to do with the Great Commission, going out, spreading the gospel throughout the world, teaching others what Christ has commanded us to do. And it's our responsibility to teach others what Christ has said and done. So not only do we have the command to be an example, the command to study, next we see the command to not neglect. In verse 14, it says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." So Paul didn't want him to neglect the gift that was in him. He had a gift and a calling. Paul wanted him to remember the gift that he had, the spiritual gift. The same, likewise, all of us have spiritual gifts as well. As a church, we are to be working together with all of our different spiritual gifts. And perhaps you don't know what your spiritual gift is. And I just encourage you to get plugged into the church in any way that you can and be helping out in any way possible. And through that, you can find out what your spiritual gift is. And we all have spiritual gifts, and we are not to let those go to waste. And Paul here is commanding him, don't neglect your spiritual gift. You know, there was a time there where where the gift was given to thee by prophecy, and then there was the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Don't forget that time there that you realized what your gift was of teaching others and just his calling. Paul wanted to remind Timothy what his calling was as a preacher. That God has given each and every single one of us a calling. And maybe it's not to be a preacher. Maybe it's not to be in full-time ministry or whatever. But God has given you a calling. Maybe it's to be at home, or maybe it's to be there at your job site, or maybe it's to be a witness there to your coworkers, whatever it may be. God's given each and every single one of you a calling. What are you doing with that calling? Are you using it for the Lord? Are you pressing forward? Not only is there the command not to neglect, but in verse 15 we see the command to meditate. Verse 15 says, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." So Paul here commands him to meditate upon these things. And many times we think of meditating upon, we think of the idea of, just thinking about it, kind of like a cow chews the grass, just meditating upon it throughout the day, thinking about it. But the word here, meditate, has more than just the idea of thinking and reflecting upon. The word here, meditate, here also implies the idea of executing, of action, of there being some sort of action step, not just thinking and dwelling upon it. So Paul here is telling Timothy, hey, I don't want you just to be thinking upon it. I want you to be actually doing something about it. And many times in our lives, we can come to church, we can listen to preaching, we can do our devotions, Maybe we can think about it, you know, okay, that was a good message what I heard this morning, or that was good what I learned in my devotions. But we actually don't do anything about it. There's no action step. And I really appreciate what we do in DBS. At the end of DBS, we have these I will statements. And I know it can be hard sometimes to do your I will statements. It can be easy just to write them down and say, okay, I wrote down my I will statement, and just go throughout the week and kind of forget what your I will statement was and really not do anything about it. And you come next week and comes, okay, how did you do the I will statements? And you're like, oh, kind of forgot or whatever. Kind of remembered it a little bit, but really didn't do anything about it. Let me just encourage you here tonight, really do more than just meditate. Actually, put some action to it. Remember what was your I will statement this morning? Do you remember what your I will statement was this morning? I hope you have already, maybe already this afternoon or this evening, just put some action into that I will statement. Even the message this morning from Pastor Dan, don't just think and dwell upon it. Put some action to it. Paul here wanted to see Timothy. He wanted to see some action from Timothy. He didn't just want to see Timothy just reading his Bible and ministering there and not doing anything much. He wanted to see improvement. He wanted to see some steps forward taken. Why? Here in the end of verse 15, it says, give thyself wholly to them. Why? That thy profiting may appear to all. When we go out and we step in faith and we start doing our I will statements, we start putting some action behind what we've learned. We start to profit here, as the verse says. We start to move forward. We start to grow more spiritually. And Paul wanted Timothy to be an example to the other believers. He wanted the other believers to see Timothy. He's like, wow, this guy is moving forward. He's profiting from this. He's moving forward. It's not profiting as in like he's gaining wealth. He's doing really good. But it's just he's moving forward spiritually. He's just really growing in the Lord. And there's actually some improvement there that you can see. And that's just a challenge here to us tonight. Are you moving forward? Can others see some profiting in you? Can they see some forward steps in your life? Some action steps? Can they see, wow, this person, you know, he's just not the same. He's actually moving forward. He's an example to the believers that he's actually profiting. He's moving forward for the Lord. Not only was there the command to meditate, to put some action behind it, but in verse 16, we see that there was the command to take heed. In the first part of 16, it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. So here, Paul wanted Timothy to be careful, to just take heed unto himself. He wanted Timothy to be careful in everything that he did. His conduct was one that couldn't be marred, especially as a minister of Christ. As a minister of Christ, he had to be true and faithful in everything that he said and did. Not only that, Paul here told him to take heed unto the doctrine. He wanted Timothy to just really take heed to everything that he was actually preaching. He wanted Timothy not just to go and preach and then live a different lifestyle. He says, hey, if you're actually preaching this doctrine, take heed unto it. Abide by it. Go out. Live it. And it's real easy for us to, you know, say one thing and then go turn the other way and live in a totally different lifestyle. It's easy for us sometimes to come to church and put on a different mask in front of others. That way we can look good. But Paul here is commanding Timothy to take heed to himself. Take heed to the doctrine. And the same as goes for us. And the final command here we see tonight was a command to continue in them. In the final part of verse 16, it says, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We see here that the command to continue in them, for in continuing in it, he was going to save himself. Saving himself here does not mean that he was going to save himself from eternal damnation, that he was going to get eternal salvation, but rather he was going to save himself from the idea has of like a falling away spiritually. Because if he's continuing in it, if he's remaining in the Lord, if he's just continually looking to the Lord, if he's continuing in this, and everything that Paul said here, and being an example, if he's continuing it, he's going to save himself. He's going to keep that example. He's going to continue in the Lord, and he's not going to fall back. But not only is he going to save himself, but he's also going to save others. And it's just amazing to see that whenever we live for the Lord, whenever we are continuing in the Lord, and we let the Lord just live his life through us, that we can see others come to know the Lord Jesus, their personal Lord and Savior. And not only just even on eternal salvation alone, but also just seeing others in Christ come back to him. When others see our example of the believer, as a believer, they say, wow, this person, there's something different about them. You know, I kind of want what that person has. And through that, they can come to Christ. They can come back. And if they're already saved, they can come back to a reunion with Christ as well. So here we see throughout this passage these six different commands. First, we saw the command to be an example. To be an example in a word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. How are we doing in those areas? Are we being an example in all those different areas? We also saw the command to study, to be in God's word, to be encouraging others, to be teaching God's word to others, as it is our responsibility. We also saw the command to not neglect, not to forget what our calling is, what our spiritual gifts are, to remain active in what God has called us to do. And we saw the command to meditate, to not only just to think about it, but put some action upon what we have learned. And we also saw the command then to take heed, to be careful in what we do, and not only what we do, but careful in what we say, and that we are living out what we do say and what we do preach. And finally, we saw the command to continue in them. So how are you doing here tonight? I know there's many different applications that we can see here throughout this passage. But just as I was studying through this here, there's many different just points throughout here that the Lord really just challenged me about. And I think he just really even challenged me just the part about the command to meditate upon it. Because it's really easy for me to just read my devotions in the morning and just go to work and just kind of be focused on work and not really putting in action on meditating upon God's word. But I hope the Lord really spoke to you in a certain area in one of these things. And if he has worked in your heart, and I believe he has, I pray that you would put some action to it. Don't just leave tonight and say, you know, that was a good message. But really, take an action step forward. Move forward for the Lord. Be an example of the believers. Are you someone who others can look to and say, I want to be just like that person? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I again just do thank you for tonight. Thank you for this challenge that you've just given to me. And I pray that you would just use it here tonight in everyone's hearts and lives. I don't know how you've worked here tonight, but I know that you have. And I pray that you would just work here throughout the invitation, through the rest of the service. And I pray that you would just get the honor and glory the rest of the service tonight. And in your name I pray. Amen.